Campus FM presents Talking Heads Season 3, brought to you by students of the International Master in Adult Education for Social Change.
The Me Too movement, which took off in the United States of America, cast a very depressing international spotlight on the perpetration of sexual violence against women. Not only women, some men as well. Now, the role of power dynamics, the culture of silence and victim shaming and blaming. In a trend-like fashion, it broke barriers and impacted other countries. The concept of what constitutes sexual harassment has evolved with awareness creation, at least on paper. Today, we'll be examining the repercussions of the reputation of men, man-hating, and how society perceives it by law, as well as what actually ensues on the ground, in schools and in the home. Hello, welcome to Campus FM Talking Heads Season 3. My name is Solace Rose Quarty, your host for today. Now, due to its popularity, the issue of sexual harassment may seem a little simple. It may seem something that is more common. However, is it? Well, to help us understand it better, we have in the studio Alexander Dmitrievich, who is the president of Men Against Violence, a local NGO concerned with engaging men and boys in preventing gender-based violence. Now, he's participated through Men Against Violence in a number of awareness-raising media campaigns. He also organized a number of workshops targeting both youth and educators on prevention of violence in a number of schools and youth organizations. His current work concentrates on prevention of sexual harassment at schools and in the workplace. His current research and interests are causes and origins of violent behavior, with particular emphasis on gender-based violence. Alexander Dmitrievich, welcome to Talking Heads.
Thank you for inviting me.
All right. I mean, your bio says a lot, and even it covers some basic areas that I actually want us to delve in today. Men against violence. When we were talking before the show itself, you mentioned something which I felt was very, very deep, and it was that men are the number one victims when it comes to violence in general.
Yes.
And also the number one perpetrators of such violence.
Yes. If you take look at the figures anywhere in any country in the world, most of the victims of most of the violence are men. Also, most of the perpetrators of most of the violence are also men. It's in men's interest, their personal interest, to be engaged in limiting and lowering and extinguishing, removing, eliminating violence from the society.
Sexual violence? I mean, if it's in his interest, in man's interest to eliminate, extinguish all the words you've used, violence, how much of his interest would be in to eliminate sexual violence against women or men?
In many ways.
Give me examples.
The most obvious example that I really don't like using is that every man has women in his life that he cares about. Mother, daughter, sister, partner.
Friend,
yeah, people, colleague, okay? So limiting or arguing or fighting against violence reduces the chance of people that are close to us in our lives from being victims.
That's a ripple effect kind of thing.
Of course. Secondly, any man would not allow violence to happen to somebody who is close to them. So if I see my close friend or something sexually harassed or something, I will interfere. Any man would interfere. But we cannot be with our partners and people that we know and care about, women that we know and care about all the time. So I would like that if I'm not there, I would like to know that there are men who are there that will interfere and support them. Like, because every woman is someone's mother, every woman is someone's sister, daughter, friend, and so on and so forth. And not to mention that, obviously, less violence in the society benefits to the society as a whole. we all benefit from less violence.
Okay. The Me Too thing became like that spotlight. Yeah. It's already happening, but it wasn't as loud. And it's, then it became the spotlight.
It's not only about loudness. Mm-hmm. It's about in-depth.
In-depth, okay.
This is the thing, because the origins, the sources of a lot of gender-based violence, a lot of sexual harassment in particular, are so ingrained, so normalized, that we do not see them as anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The way we use language, the jokes we say. And it's not, the thing in my view, it's not that this is something new. Women have always been uncomfortable or scared or victims of these kind of behaviors, but now they're speaking out.
Okay.
That's sort of a difference. It's not, and so for some men, it's a difficult to understand that change, because certain kind of behavior are accepted as normal. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a guy somewhere in France recently who slapped a woman, her behind. He ended up, I mean, but he did.
Just checking.
It's a sexual assault. But if you watch movies from 60s and 70s and 80s, I mean, in the film, James Bond slaps his girl on behind all the time. It's a normal thing to do.
But wouldn't you say, for instance, if it's his girl, maybe they have that kind of a relationship where it's a bit comfortable?
Yes,
opposed to probably like a random person
Yeah. I mean, they are kind of behaviors between couples and friends might be sort of okay, mm-hmm. because it's happening with consent.
Yeah.
The consent is a key word there. What is the difference, I don't know, lifting up a skirt of a woman to see her underwear, when you can go to the beach in summer and see so many women in
some
bikinis
topless.
Or topless? Yeah. The difference is consent. Woman consent to for you to see her body on the beach, but not to lift up her skirt.
She hasn't asked you.
If she has any, yes.
Okay. So at least that gives us like a very clear understanding of what consent is. But even that, it's like I agreed to some extent and then I changed my mind. That also seems to be like an issue that a lot of men have right now. It's like, well, she agreed and we're kind of okay with it. Oh, she was okay with it yesterday, but she's not okay with it today.
Because consent is not a permanent thing. Consent changes. A woman can agree to have a drink with you or a chat with you. It doesn't mean that she agrees that you can touch her. Invitation to a drink is not an invitation to a touch. It's not an invitation to a kiss or sex or whatever. The consent has to be present in each kind of moment and all time. And if it happened, if I lend you my car today, that doesn't mean that you can come tomorrow, take the car and drive it off. You need to ask me if I can do that, if you can do that. Consent has to be given for each and every situation. So,
all right. So that's it for consent. Now let's talk. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to what I was talking about regarding the reputation of men and the role that they play in this sexual harassment campaign or violence against women campaign. We haven't had as many men on board as I would believe that we should. Considering the fact that the statistics show that they are the major perpetrators of sexual violence. Why do you think this is the case?
Well,
that was a very deep sigh.
It's trying to put it in short term. The men in every patriarchal society, and which is even this one, ours, local, men are a dominant group. So actions of men, behavior of men, power of men is the norm, and it's something which does not, dominant behaviors of the dominant group never gets to be examined. It's as simple as that, because that behavior is norm. It's a normalized behavior. So when we talk about gender-based violence or domestic violence and sexual harassment, men as a dominant group, it gives them an opportunity. That's something for women, that's something about women, so it gives them an opportunity to brush it off their shoulders, and that's something that somebody else does, it's not me. When it comes to engagement of men to be active participants in this fight against domestic violence, gender-based violence, sexual harassment, there are few and hard to find sometimes, but these kind of men do exist.
Why are they hard to find?
I think it's coming from that perspective. They say, I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. I'm not doing that thing. And I would never do it. So why should I be bothered. There are other things that interest me. I think that there is a small minority, I would actually say that vast majority of men are genuinely good, decent human beings when it comes to these issues, of course. And there is a small minority of, there is a minority of men who are vile and deserve all the scorn they get or they could get. And they give the rest of us men a bad name. No figures, no facts. It's just my belief. But I just wanted to say there are organizations everywhere which do more or less the same work. There is an umbrella organization called Men Engaged, which holds around 700 to 800 organizations from all over the world. They even work in the darkest, hard places where it's very hard to be a woman. They exist in Afghanistan, they exist in Pakistan, in India, in lot of work is done in Africa and Asia. And yes, we exist in Europe. There are around 27, 28 organizations which Men Engage Europe trying to right now to work together and engage more men on these issues.
Now, women-led movements against gender-based violence have been accused by some men that they are not welcoming when they men decide to speak up against issues like this. It becomes like, you're a man. Why are you even, you don't know how it's like. You don't know what it is. I have personally had a conversation with a colleague of mine who expresses frustration about this all the time. It's like, well, I support, you know, these issues. I am an activist for this. But anytime I open my mouth, people look at me like, why are you talking?
Well, there is a role, there is a big role that men can fill. I work with some all-time fighters, feminists, women that have been through some other stuff before, some other fights, and they are welcoming men, more than welcoming. The issue is how. The role.
To what extent?
The extent is this, it's not the fight for women's rights in general, and especially then you go into particular, Me Too and so on and so forth, is led by women and it should be led by women. Because they are the ones who experienced it and they know exactly what is wrong. So we have to listen to these women.
Okay.
Men have a role in this not by engaging in the movement itself as leaders or participants. Men have a role. What men can do, they can open up spaces that where women voices are usually not heard. Okay, male-only spaces, the locker room talk, the only men,
gentlemen clubs,
the places where men meet and exchange ideas. There, men can play a role by opening these spaces, opening eyes of the other men in what's happening and what needs to be done. So, yeah, no, men definitely have a big role to play and can play a big role, especially in opening up the new avenues for women voices to be heard. So in that respect, I would agree with when women say, no, there's no place in the movement as a leader or what have you. I would say, probably it makes sense, and I'm saying that as a man, but yes, men can be allies.
Okay.
Men can be allies, like straight people can be allies to LGBTIQ and so on and so forth, not speaking from personal experience but as talking from a position of strength. I have a privilege, I'm gonna use it to help those who are less privileged than me.
This is Talking Heads Season 3, brought to you by the third cohort of the International Master in Adult Education for Social Change.
Now, let's now go to the fact that the issue of sexual harassment and how it's become popularized and how it's become something that a lot of people are aware of, at least on paper. People are not as aware of it in practice.
Because a lot of behavior that can be construed as sexual harassment has been normalized, A. And B, usually, what has to change or what is changing is that now what we have is the breakthrough was in understanding that sexual harassment has to be seen from victim's perspective. It's only the victim that can feel and know if this is sexual harassment or not, not the perpetrator. And what can be or what is sexual harassment is an extensive list. And that list in academic circles or feminist circles or activist circles has been known for very, very, very long time. And the some what we would call maybe very, very innocent behavior can be, depending on the context, very, very dangerous and violent. Looking someone, staring someone in the eyes in a nightclub or trying to catch someone's eyes is okay. But if it's late night and you're a woman and you get enter into a lift and man walks behind you and he stares at your eyes, it gets becomes something completely different. So context matters and awareness, obviously, yes.
When I was preparing for this show, I interacted with a few young men, and one of the things that stood out for me was that they're like, I don't know, I'm not sure what I'm going to do is, I mean, I know the blatant ones, I won't even touch her, but sometimes even just saying hello, I'm kind of worried that I will be...
That's silly. Okay. In my view, silly. Saying hello to someone, it's one thing.
Mm.
If...
No, because you were talking about looks and things how would I know even if I'm looking at hair funny? Maybe I stare too long. How long is too long?
Look. Everything, as I said, everything is a context. Everything, every situation has a context. So, as I said, if you are in a nightclub, you know, and it's 2 o'clock and there are women there and men there and people are dancing and looking for some fun, maybe looking for to find some company, maybe coming up to someone out of nowhere and offering a drink or looking at someone trying to catch an eye or approach. We've been as people, as humans, doing this for very, very, very long time. The thing is this, if you are not certain that what you are doing, how you are treating a woman, addressing a woman, is sexual harassment or not, if you don't know if it is or if it isn't, stop. It's as simple as that.
Interesting. Stop.
Yeah. If you don't know, if you're not certain, if a woman is feeling threatened by you, if you are not certain, stop. What does it cost you? What does it cost you? You are the one that might be causing some harm, so just stop it. Okay. As simple as that.
So, okay.
This is where the conversation should be. When we talk about all these things, gender-based violence, domestic violence, family violence, the onus is always on women.
Mm.
Okay, so when we talk about, the great author, Jackson Katz, and he has a great video that explains this really, really beautifully. When we talk about this, what do we say? He said, what happened? John beat Mary. Okay? So we have a subject, object, and what happened. So John is the cause. John is the originator of the problem. But as we don't talk in our everyday conversation about this issue, we talk about women's shelters, we talk about battered wives, we talk about victims all the time. We obviously have a tendency of blaming women for everything. Mm-hmm. What was she wearing? What was she drinking? Why did she say that? Maybe she provoked him, and so on and so on and so forth. And John, as I said before, the dominant gender in the society does not get to be examined.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the man, usually men, that cause the problem. So why are we dealing with symptoms? Why are we opening shelters for women? Why? I mean, yes, we need to, okay? Immediate danger, always the top priority. Why don't we deal with the cause? Why don't we deal with, so the conversation, the topic of the conversation, the onus has to be on men. Men are the ones that are causing this. Mostly men, let me repeat it. So we need to say, okay, look, your action might make this girl feel threatened. You have to be aware enough. You have to have awareness of that your action might being construed as threatening, and why don't you stop? If you're not sure, stop it. As simple as that. It's on you, not on her, to come up with a smile or an excuse or whatever in order to avoid you. You might be the nicest guy in the planet, but if it's night and there is a woman walking in front of you, and she hears your footsteps, you might be the nicest guy in the planet, but if she hears your footsteps, there is a thought in her head that you might be a perpetrator. So take the responsibility. It's this, what you can do in that case. You can just cross the street to go on the other side. Again, it's something that you can do, man can do.
Now, I'm glad we delved into this particular issue. Now, let's stay on it and talk about focusing on men, awareness creation, sensitization. One would say, well, sexual harassment sort of benefits men in the sense that it's like a power dynamic. They're always in power. They can choose. They can choose whatever woman they want. Mm. That feeling of power, of knowing that they can do whatever they want to any woman they want and not really, you know, they pay for it because most times they have gotten away with it. In the past, at least not now, but at least in the past, that this whole situation is clipping their privilege. And I put that in quotes.
Yeah.
You know, the wings of their privilege. Mm. And so them wanting to come on board or them listening or being accepting to be sensitized against such practices is not in their quote-unquote favor. Mm. What's your take?
I think it's in everyone's favor. Yes, you're right. The removing or man losing some privileges in terms of some kind of behaviors that were sort of normalized and accepted and unchallenged before.
Has it been a struggle though, the sensitization?
Yes, it's hard to reach men. It's hard to explain to them why it's, as I said, it's in their interest to do more or do better. And obviously, my organization, many others, we try to work on that. We try to, through various, usually programs and their training sessions and their workshops, where you sort of try to show the privilege, which is unearned, undeserved, based only on gender, that by losing these privileges, they don't lose and they actually gain more. So it's difficult, it's hard, but yeah. Slowly, I would, the revolutions don't happen that easy. Mm. You know,
now, your research has been in the universities, right? At least
I did research on sexual harassment at workplace, and I did research on sexual harassment in schools.
In schools in general, no higher education.
Yes, the sixth form.
Okay, what do you think, in from your professional experience, the role of parents in sensitizing, conditioning, socializing young boys, not just young girls, and even the sensitizing of young girls is more like, oh, you need to, you know, wear a longer skirt and, you know,
it's always like that. It starts early. Mm. I mean, there is a research that tells you that up to the age between summer 7 to 9, the aptitudes of boys and girls towards everything are the same. Mm. But then something changes, and what changes is the socialization of these boys and girls, how we gear them up in life. And parents have a massive role to play. But then in nowadays world, it's very, very hard with access of social networks and internet, and parents being struggling with work and what have you. There is a and the technology is moving at a neck-breaking speed, and for parents to catch up with all the outside inputs, all the outside sources and pressures that their kids experience is very, very difficult. I think that we need to work more in sort of inbuilding gender mainstreaming these issues into our educational system. Mm. That's the only way long-term preventive programs are shown to work. And if we mainstream it into our curriculums in our schools in long terms, yes, we can make actual tangible change.
Now, finally, just before we wrap up, what would you say to, you know, young men out there who are thinking, well, then I'm just not going to say anything to anybody because it seems like whatever I do, someone can even misinterpret it. Or if I don't touch anybody, maybe I just simply want to, you know, get to know someone and I wouldn't know genuinely. Mm. You have answered that, but what advice would you give to them in terms of looking at it on a broader level for a long-term kind of thing in their interactions with women?
first of all, touch without consent is a no-go in any, especially with a woman that you absolutely don't know. But I think that being genuine, being yourself, and being honest, and talking to women who want to hear you, because that's another thing that you have to pay attention. You have to, I think the main point that men, young men should think about is, one thing for certain is that women do not owe you attention. Okay, so if a woman is on a bus stop with her headphones on and reading a book, don't approach her. She's there, she's doing what she needs. She's not there to meet anyone, not to talk to anyone. So if you understand that if woman brushes you off, that's it. She's not a prize that you have to, you know, try and try and try and try again to win. So that's the only advice I have, is they don't owe you attention. If they are not interested, back off, say thank you, bye, and that's it. The rest is okay.
All right. Now, finally, for men who want to be activists, who want to have, like, you know, a voice, and lend their voice to this cause, and speak up against other men, and against even other women who also promote this type of toxic environment, what's your take? What do you have to say to them?
Change your ways.
well, yeah.
As simple as that. Contact Men Against Violence, contact Men Engage, and look at what the work they do, and look what are the end results, and just try to think a little bit out of the box, and you'll see that this is good for everyone. It's good for everyone, good for you.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Alexander Dmitrievich, for joining us on today's show. You've been a great help, and you've helped us understand a lot of things.
No,
and I
thank
hope
you.
The young men out there and the young women out there, men, young, old, young, are listening, and I hope they have learned as much as I have today.
Thank you. You're
right.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Right, if you just joined us, unfortunately, we're wrapping up right now. We had in the studio Alexander Dmitrievich, who was helping us delve into the issue of sexual harassment, gender-based violence, violence against women, from the male perspective, and helping us understand the part that men can play in the campaign and in the fight. This is Talking Eds Season 3, Campus FM. My name is Solis Rose Quartier. Many thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for our next episode. Make sure you don't miss that. Bye-bye.